Welcome to the Collared Carpenter Podcast with Reverend Rick Zapp. Conversations of Love is a weekly podcast series with his wife, Amy, to explore relationships, faith, and everyday life. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast, or check out our Patreon page for more products and information. Now, here's Rick and Amy.
Blessings, miracles, and peace to you today. I am Reverend Rick, also known as the Collared Carpenter, and today we are continuing our highly anticipated podcast series, Conversations of Love. Now, what's unique about this new weekly series, which airs every Wednesday at 3 p.m., is that we have a very special guest podcaster, Amy Zapp.
And we're here to share faith and help your marriage. Our hope is that this will help you as an individual to grow. We'll help you too as a couple to forgive and grow together and build your family under the love and protection of God.
So today's conversation on love, we're actually going to dive into what love is truly about. And so we're hoping to go ahead and take this to the next level because we're always looking for feedback from y'all in the comments below, whether you have questions or you even want to share your own stories, feel free to do that. We have this podcast on plenty of platforms, so feel free to share, like, and subscribe, or even join us on our Patreon page to help support our ministry. So now let's talk about love, because it gets so distorted today. And unfortunately, the true meaning of it just gets whitewashed by culture and society. Now, when we think about love, certain things come to mind. Like when you think about love, what do you think about?
I think about a beautiful relationship that you have to work on. I think about, when you say the word love, I think about you automatically.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, it's a great answer. And I think about God too, because God is love. And I think about sacrifice.
And I mean, when you look at it too, I mean, today when love gets portrayed, whether in media or by text message, it's a heart. And that heart is there to convey a message. And that message is much deeper than what we give it credit for. It binds us, it unites us, it strengthens us, and it's in that love that we come to share, we come to grow, we come to nourish. One of the things that I've noticed, which is why we're doing this podcast, is from those that I've been able to counsel over the last 20 years, being a marriage and family therapist in Texas. It's one of those that people really need a lot of help with love. And they just don't necessarily know what the true meaning of it is. So today, our hope is that you'll not only come to a better understanding, but you'll also question in your own life what type of love you have, what type of love you're searching for, what type of love is the ultimate love that you can easily have in Jesus Christ. So the type of love that often gets portrayed in today is, in the Greek, it's called eros, and it's that passionate, lustful first love that when you see another person or you hold their hand, or you kiss for the very first time, it's that excitement that's there. It's not the only connotation or word in Greek there's so many other meanings, and also in other languages. I listened to an interview one time of someone from India, and he had come to speak at a conference in California, and everyone was like, oh, we love you so much. You've been such a great speaker. So glad that you're here. We love it. We love you. And he's like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. So many people here in America have this deep feeling of love. Because where he was from in India, love meant it was going to be the ultimate, that you would throw yourself in front of a bus for another person and save them and save their lives. That's not the kind of love that we portray in our culture, in our society whatsoever. So often what happens is that Eros love is portrayed and is nurtured, and that's what people seek out. I mean, you could probably think of your early relationships when it was all that Eros type love.
Before I met you, I dated many, many guys, and a lot of the relationships, I thought some of them I was in might have been love, but I quickly realized that they were not love. Basically, they were just passion and lust, because most of my relationships ended up with the guy I was dating wanted to have sex with me, and that was something that was very special to me, and I wanted to save that for my husband. That was just something I wasn't okay with. And when you really love somebody, you shouldn't put that person that you love in a situation where you're having to make a choice that you know isn't right. That's not love. That's definitely lust. And I'm so glad that I saved myself for my husband, because that is such a special bond that you have between a woman and a man. And it's beautiful. And that's not something that you should just give away, I don't think, to anyone. Now, other relationships were very materialistic that I had. I was given lots of different gifts and things, and that's not love either. Material things are not love. Money is not love. Love is when you unconditionally love somebody. There's no strings attached. It's just unconditional, pure love, where you're building relationship together, you work through things together, and you're basically they're your best friend, because that's what Rick is. He's my best friend, and I love him with every piece of my heart, and never did he put me in a situation where I felt uncomfortable. He was always very respectful, very gentlemanlike, and that is something that I really searched for when I was looking for my husband. But I really thought that was going to be non-existent, because it was near impossible to find somebody. And I think it's important that you don't settle. I think a lot of us settle for people or just think, well, I'm just going to give in to this because I'm never going to find that guy. And I remember thinking that. I remember thinking, oh my goodness, I'm never going to find that person because they don't exist, until I met Rick. And then I realized, wait a minute, this is my first relationship where it's really love. He doesn't expect anything from me. He doesn't want that from me. He knows that's special and he holds it sacred. And our relationship wasn't set up on lust. It was set up on love. And it always has been. So I just think that's very important. It's just to really, because the media and television, all of those things portray love as sex and lust and passion. And that's just not what love is.
And moving on from one to the next, to the next, right, to the next, constantly in search.
Right. And that's not going to get you true love.
And as they're coming to find out more and more as technology advances, you know, being able to do functional MRI scans of the brain and understanding brain chemistry, we're coming to a better understanding that that bonding that happens through sex, the act of sex, really does chemically unite and bond one another. And it's one of those that as you break that bond, break up, go to the next one, break up, go to the next one, those connections in that part of the brain are not reinforced, are not strengthened. And what happens when you don't have a strong muscle? It is weak. And so that's where the hope is, as we start discussing this, that there is something to be said for finding the right person, for finding the right partner, for not playing the field, for, you know, truly going ahead and having a relationship with one another. And when Amy was just talking about that sacrificial love, that love of loyalty, the best friend love, that's a different type of love in Greek. That's the filial love. You know, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Philia, there is that brotherly love, that commonality that you share, that connection that you share with one another, that is so very, very important. And they even take the filial love even to another level, a higher level. The storge, that is the love between a parent and a child. That's still part of that unconditional loyalty, sacrificial love that we have for our children that means so much to us. So it's one of those that as we continue to look at it, it's like, what does love truly look like? Just checking the minute timer on us to see how we're doing. And so that type of love is what I have a lot of young adults ask me about. They're like, yeah, but when you lose the lust and the passion, what's left? They don't see what's on the other side. They don't see that it's just that couple sitting across from each other, or even sitting next to each other, an older couple just being in each other's company at a restaurant, that is that common bond, that love, that filial love that continues to strengthen and strengthen over the course of the marriage.
Yeah, I think too that a lot of couples think that when they first meet each other, like when we first meet, there was a lot of passion and it was new and exciting. And sometimes a lot of couples struggle with that newness wears away. Like what you're saying, and the passion, I wouldn't say lust, but like the passion and that excitement of that new relationship, that, I mean, that does go away in every couple's relationship. But then it grows into something even more beautiful that I think a lot of people don't really realize. They think, oh, wait a minute, what happened to my relationship? Well, what happened to your relationship is you didn't just meet that person. You have now grown with them. You've experienced different things. Your relationship is growing in a totally different way. What a lot of couples think is, well, gosh, we just lost our passion, or we just lost our excitement, or whatever, but that's really not true. That's a lustful thing that you're really looking for. It's really not the true unconditional love. And I think that can really be misunderstood by a lot of couples, especially young adults. But you grow together, and when you have a child, the love even changes more and grows stronger between the couple. and between the bond with the child. And just each and every year, your love changes and it gets stronger in a completely different way from when you first met each other. And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Like, I love Rick more today than I did years ago, and I never thought that would even be possible. And with every year, I think, oh my gosh, I love you even more than I loved you when I met you. And, you know, with each year, I think, gosh, I couldn't love him anymore. But then we just grow and grow and grow, and our love gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's what you want. But it grows in a different way.
But I also think it's growing together because we make time for one another.
Well, that's true.
It's growing together because we're sharing with one another.
That's true. And a lot of couples have a hard time finding commonality or things they can kind of do together. Or they kind of hit a roadblock where sometimes, especially I think when your children, if you have children, when they grow up and they move out of the house, you've focused a lot of your attention and energy on your child and being there for your child and being parents. And then they leave and then you're back with your spouse, like kind of like when you were dating, or you are back with your spouse when you first got married and didn't have a child. That's a better way to look at it. And then some couples are like, well, wait a minute, now what? I don't even know this person anymore. But that's something, you know, life brings changes and you have to work through the change and you have to work with each other to come up with things to do that you both enjoy and spend time with one another. Because you have to work on your relationship and your marriage.
And that often doesn't pan out for a lot of couples. You know, when I meet with them online and talk to them, they don't have commonalities. Some of them don't even have hobbies. But, you know, they don't have any commonalities between each other. She's an inside person. I'm an outside person. I play golf. She does, you know, there's not a we do this or I did this and she learned how to do this so that we could do it together. Instead, it's that society or that culture of I and me and what I need to do to be fulfilled and taken care of. And so it's one of those that, you know, truly, truly, it's about doing it together and about experiencing that together. And it's about tough decisions. You know, early on in our marriage, you know, I was offered a job, a six-figure job, which was a huge improvement from, you know, being in ministry. But he told me, he was like, you will be gone 274 days out of the year. And that's just what it is.
I couldn't bear the thought of that.
And, you know, we talked about it, prayed about it. But it's like, it wasn't about the money. It was about, for us, the relationship. And I'm so glad that I was able to say no. Mm-hmm. You know, without that temptation there, I was able to say no. Because at that point, our daughter was just 4 months old. Mm-hmm. And 2 months later, my mom comes down with cancer, which she survived, thank God. And it was just one thing after the other. And if I would have been on the road, unable to be home during all of that, and to see those early formative years like I did, I don't know what type of filial love I would have for my wife or for my child. You know, it's one of those that if you're not present, and I'm talking here to the guys, if you are not present to your family and it's just about working and making money to provide for them, you've got to look at how to reevaluate that, because it's not about just making the money, having the job, and having that security that we're trying to provide for our spouse or our children. It's really about the relationship. And I'm so glad that I took that opportunity to grow the relationships, you know, in those early years.
Yeah, and to me, a money thing is just, that's just not important to me. I just want to be with Rick. I want to spend time, as much time as I possibly can with him. Yes, we both have to work and we have to provide for our family, but at the end of the day, I need to know that he's with me and he's my partner and that we're both there for our daughter, because your child needs a mommy and they need a daddy. And when daddy's gone all the time, you're basically a single parent. And that's really hard. And even though I know that seemed enticing, that was a six-figure income, to me that was not enticing. That had hazard written all over it to me. Because I don't believe that money can bring you happiness at all. A lot of times it can bring you a lot of pain and hurt and suffering. Because it just opens a lot of doors that shouldn't be opened. And I know a lot of people make a lot of money and they might be very, very happy. And very happy with their spouse. But I could not bear the thought that he was going to be gone all that time. And I wasn't going to get to be with him. One, we dated for three years, 9.5 hours away, and that was just beyond awful. And it did make us stronger as a couple, but I just could not even fathom that he was going to travel like that and be gone. But he'd be able to make lots of money for us. That just was not something that was interesting or even wonderful sounding to me. It was awful. So I'd rather be dirt poor and live in a box and have my husband with me than live in a mansion and have all this money and not have my partner present with me. And we're building a relationship. I think that struggling as a family and struggling as a couple, even economically struggling, that made us stronger together. We really valued each other, and we would work on things as a team. And, you know, it's just, I don't know.
And, you know, working on it as a team, I mean, it became one of those that as we continued to grow together, granted, there was arguments and fights or whatever you want to call them, but, you know, hey, be careful. you know, it's one of those that, you know, you truly come to treasure one another. You know, having that commonality that we're talking about, you know, right now we have a spa or a jacuzzi in the backyard. And at night when we're both done with work, being able to just go out there and sit, sometimes we don't even say a word to each other, but we're just in each other's company, compared to sometimes we're just sharing about everything that's going on in life. And, you know, it's that common time that we have. It will be like, oh, it is 11:30. Maybe we should go inside. You know, and get ready for the next day. But that's where we have our togetherness and our time also to be there for one another. But if you truly treasure the relationship, where do you give yourself time to make it grow? You know, how do you encourage each other, whether it's a date night, whether it's, you know, going beyond just the normal and really coming to understand and know the other partner. I mean, I've asked couples to ask some of the basic questions about to the other person, and they, even after 10, 15, 20 years, they still don't know the answers of what's, you know, on their bucket list or even what their favorite TV show was growing up. You know, it's one of those that as you continue to share with one another, you continue to deepen the relationship. And like you said, Amy, the relationship deepens even with the struggles. You know, when we were living in the trailer for, how long was that? A year and a half, 2 years?
Oh, it was like 2.5 years.
2.5 years. Which, when we were trying to build our house, right? And, you know, we were having to, our other house sold in an instant, and we were having to live in a trailer until the new house was built. And then we had delay after delay after delay.
And nightmare after nightmare after nightmare.
Yeah. You come to truly treasure. I can remember there's still a picture of the two of y'all on the carpet, like doing like angel wings in the carpet because we actually had carpet for, you know, the first time moving in for, you know, 2.5 years when you didn't have that room to stretch in the trailer. And it was a true challenge and a testament to what we were willing to sacrifice for what we have here and what mm-hmm. we have now. And
yeah, we really realized so many people told us, oh my goodness, your marriage is not going to make it through living in a travel trailer with one another for this long. But actually, the funny thing is, it made our relationship like 1,000 times stronger. Probably most people would kill each other. But we really, truly realized, oh my goodness, all this stuff is so not important. We don't need all this stuff. We built such a small little house. And originally, we had come up with a house that was a lot bigger than the house we're in. But living in a travel trailer for 2.5 years, I'm like, what in the world do we need all this space for? Like, any space seemed like a palace compared to what we were living in. And we just really, we enjoyed every single minute we had with each other. We did the most fun things outside. We really spent so much time as a family. Yes, we were going crazy. I'm not going to lie. It was squishy in there. But it was funny. And we had so many memories together. And we just really, really valued things in a different way than what we had had before. Boy, we were so thankful when we got to get out of that thing. And I think we both probably had a party, like a million parties in our head the day we sold our travel trailer.
And watching it pull out of the lot where we were living, it was like, oh my goodness, it's gone. Yay. And she's like, I am never camping for the rest of my life. I've done it for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, and I love to be outside. I love to camp. But boy, after that, we were just done. So, but I just think it's important to really focus on one another and focus on building a relationship and try to look for things that maybe you don't have anything in common, or maybe you think you don't have anything in common. Maybe try to figure out together, what could you do together to spend more time with one another? How could you work on this relationship? What things could you do for each other to show each other the love that you have? Like, one thing, we both work so many hours. And one thing Rick does that is so appreciated, and it means the world to me, is he will make food on Saturdays or Sundays. And he preps all this chicken or brisket or whatever he comes up with, jambalaya, and he makes it, and he vacuum seals a bunch of food and he freezes it in the freezer because we both work such late hours and so many wacko hours. And in between all those hours, we homeschool our child, and we are just constantly switching between the two of us with our schedules to make sure one of us is with our daughter and the other one's working, or I'm working and he's with our daughter teaching her different subjects. And we just have a crazy busy life, but we want her to know at all times she's very important and she gets our full undivided attention when we're with her. But also, since we're both working so much, it's really hard to make food because we don't have breaks to make dinners or meals. But
and for us out in the country here too, it's just not like we can order a pizza and bring it in. Plus,
oh, we can't even have pizza. Well, we have celiac disease.
Well, and with that on top of it too, it's like we have to make everything in home fresh for ourselves. So, you know, being able to give that gift to Amy, being able to give that gift to the family, being able to create, which I love to do in the kitchen.
Oh yeah, he's a really good cook.
Or, you know, even spend, you know, 5.5-6 hours, you know, with the smoker to do, you know, 15 pounds of chicken thighs, you know, that, you know, we have for the rest of the week to add into dishes. You know, it's one of those things that it's like, let me be able to help in some capacity for us to better ourselves in our limited time.
Mm-hmm. And we can't, like what you're saying, we can't order pizza. We can't order anything. We can't eat at a restaurant. My daughter and Rick are severe celiacs. And I just have an intolerance, but it still makes me sick, just not like them. But we don't have any gluten in the house. I make everything homemade and fresh. So this makes it very challenging because I've got to make every meal homemade. It can't be some easy meal, unfortunately. So with him, it just shows me that he really cares and he realizes, oh my goodness, this would probably be very helpful if I did this without me even asking him. So that's nice. So try to think of nice things that you can do for one another to show each other that you love each other, or you're noticing, hey, you're really working hard. What can I do to make it better? Or, you know what? Would you like some help with this? Can I help you do this?
And that's one thing that I love the most is actually when we're cooking together and we're doing things in the kitchen together, it's that commonality that we accomplished a goal together, or when we have an outside project and we finished it together, it's like it's done, you know, and you have that hippie moment and you're just okay, now we can move on to the next project on that honey-do list. But you know, it's one of those that you continue to try to see where can I fulfill the other's needs, because if it's a true relationship that you're working on it, then they should be trying to fulfill your needs and working in this,
can I work as a team?
Yeah, and this complementary team that, you know, my deficits Amy fills and her deficits I fill, and her strengths, you know, and my strengths are different. And so it's one of those that in a relationship, when you can truly play off of one another in that way and being that complementary, it truly makes the world go round. So, you know, it's all about this expression of love, and a love that, you know, you share together, and a love of just not passion. It's a love of interest. It's a love of experience. It's a love of joy. But it's also about truly trying to acknowledge those. Mm-hmm. Rather than keeping score of all the negatives. You didn't do this. You weren't like this. Why could you have not done, you know, instead of this negative scoreboarding that can often happen in a relationship because there's no true forgiveness. You know, it if you look at the positives and you look at all the blessings that have come to you and come to your family and come to you as a couple, then you come to share those things and you acknowledge them between the both of you. And it's in that acknowledgement that you continue to grow stronger. So once again, I encourage y'all as couples to go ahead and look to those positives. Go ahead and exemplify and ratchet up those positives so that you're doing them more and more and more for each other, with each other, so that it truly builds the relationship. The other part of this, but when we talk about love, is the sacrificial love of Christ. It's that unconditional love. I mean, it goes beyond like that agape love, that those acts of love that are regardless of a relationship, you know, charity acts, love for a complete stranger. That's that agape Greek love that they always talked about. This is, though, that sacrificial love of Christ's love. The love that he has for his creation. The love that he has for us in our humanity because of him becoming man. And it's truly in that love that he set as an example for us. So one example that comes to mind of his love is when he was at the Last Supper, celebrating with his apostles. And you can pick this up in any one of the Gospels. You know, you can truly see what his love for the apostles was all about. At the beginning of the meal, he goes ahead, ties a cloth around himself, and washes the feet of the apostles. He washes their feet as a sign of being a humble servant to the other. Not a position of dominance. I'm going to tell you how it is, and this is how you do it. It was a position, a lowly position. You know, the servants would come and wash the feet as you walked into the house. He's taking their dirty, crusty feet that have walked the roads, that might have had dung on them, that, you know, all that that's dirty, that's collected. He's there as a humble servant to wash their feet. To truly go ahead and say, I love you enough to do this, and you need to do this to others. So it's not about a position of power, but it's about being a servant to others. And by being that humble servant, you aren't looking for praise, you aren't looking for recognition, although it feels good. It's just about doing for the other person. But, you know, of course, we got, you know, Peter. Simon Peter. He can never keep his mouth shut. And, of course, he says, no, Lord, you're our rabbi, you're our teacher. Don't wash my feet. And he's like, you still don't get it, Peter. I have to wash your feet. I have to show to you what it is to be a humble servant. And of course, he misses the mark again. And he's like, well, then go ahead. Don't just wash my feet. Why don't you wash my whole body? And Christ is like, no. It's not about washing the whole body. It's not about making you clean. It's about the act of service, this unconditional love to the other person. Now sit down and let me wash your feet, right? And so he's truly given us an example for our marriage, for example, in relationships, that what we're supposed to strive for, being the humble servant, being the humble to the other in the relationship, and building each other up together. And I think that's where culture has distorted mm-hmm. what truly marriage is about. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at scripture as this is the union of one man and one woman together with God, we're talking about a sacramental grace here. It's just not a piece of paper from the state that says you're together in union. Right? This is talking about a sacramental grace that binds the three into one. You know, what no man joins together, let God or man separate. So it's truly about that coming together as one. So through this whole process, I encourage y'all, if you're already married, continue to grow your marriage. Continue to ask questions. Continue to strive to be a couple. Continue to do more, not just with each other and for each other, but in that unity with God. Continue to search for that if you're not in a marriage relationship yet. Search for the right person. And as you said, Amy, don't just settle. You know, search for the right one that God has chosen for you, not your picker, because a lot of times your picker isn't the best picker. But truly search out the one that God has chosen for you. Pray about it. Pray about your future spouse. Pray about what those traits that we talked about today will be portrayed in that future spouse. Pray that it's in God's time that you'll be joined together in a unity, in a grace that is stronger than any piece of paper can go ahead and declare. And for those of you that listen that right now are single and are questioning and can't find, don't know what love is truly about, keep going. It's a journey. And if you've got Christ along your side, He's there for you. He's there to bless you and encourage you to be able to walk the road to find that special someone. And maybe you need to work on yourself a little bit. Whether you're in a marriage or not, seek out those people to help you. To help you grow in faith, to help you grow in your marriage, to help you grow as an individual, so that you can be the best you for the couple and for God. So I'm sure there's lots of things that we didn't get to talk about today, but that's why this series continues. That's why each week on Wednesdays at 3 p.m., we're going to go ahead and share another part of these conversations on love to be able to grow and to nourish and to come to a commonality to know that we are not only followers of Christ, but we together, especially as a couple, we're following God's promise. Any last thoughts for today?
Yeah, I think we should encourage everyone to do something new with your marriage or your relationship. Try something new. Try to find something with your relationship that you can do together to grow. And try to figure out what that is. Maybe discuss it together.
I agree. Okay. Well, as always, we thank you for your continued support. Like, subscribe, hit that bell notification. Keep listening. Most importantly, share. Share this podcast with others so that we continue to grow and the message keeps continuing to grow and get out there to everyone. Okay. So blessings, miracles, and peace to you today. God love you all and have a wonderful week.